Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz back with you again. And of course, well, today is, after all, Fed Day. And of course, the debate lingers on as to will she or won't she, and of course only her hairdresser knows for sure. And of course, you know that I have said repeatedly for the last year that they will not, and I will continue to say that they will not. There is no way they are raising interest rates. I don't care what they say. It's a bunch of crap, hogwash, BS. They are so happy that there are so many troubles everywhere else because, quite frankly, they have no clue as to what they're going to do next. I don't believe they even have a plan. I believe that their entire MO here is to hope against hope that the trouble will just disappear. And we all know that that does not happen. That is not real life. And that has been proven time after time after time. Sounds like a song. That troubles don't go away. And you can break it down to this, the simplest common denominator, which is relationships. If you got trouble with a friend or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife or whatever, okay, the troubles just don't go away. They fester, they hide, they may be masked for a while, but at the end of the day, there's usually a little bit of volatility, either when you fix the problem or when you make the problem go away, okay? Why do we think that the problems in the economy are going to be any different? So if they're going to tell me that the economy is in such great shape, I just want to know where. Where is it that everybody is doing so wonderful? Where is it that everything is in such great shape? Now, I can't see it. I know in my own personal household, it's not great. I mean, you know, again, we're not, you don't need to have a tag day, but I can see the difference. I know that I'm paying more for goods and services and I'm getting less, okay? I know that kids are having trouble finding jobs. I know that I have two kids in college. And, you know, I know the college cost isn't coming down, okay? I mean, do you realize the average cost of a college this year is probably the average is probably somewhere around 25 to 30 grand? Okay, now, I don't know, but, and the beauty of this all is, now you have our wonderful politicians wanting to offer free community college or whatever they want to give, but yet, when it comes time to doing your taxes, the college money is not deductible. So, if I'm paying $30, it means I got to make 45 or 50 to pay that 30. Now, if you're among the average American who's making 50, okay, well, then your kid, either you saved, which is great, or you are going to go into debt to help your kid, or you're going to force your kid to go into debt. Any one of those options are not good, okay? If you saved, that's great. But now, you're going to have to send them off to school. And if they go into debt, when are they going to make all the money back that they're going to have to spend to go to school? What job are they going to get when they get out? Now, again, I know the picture seems more bleak than it may really be. I mean, the biggest problem in this country is that the technology revolution is coming along a little bit too fast, because we're in a bad cycle here between educated and uneducated, and factory workers, machine tool workers, and technology workers. And certainly, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can speak for myself that if I had to get a job in technology, they might pay me a dollar or two an hour, because I have no clue. I know how to turn my computer on. I know how to operate it the way for what I need to do. But certainly, I spend hours when there's a problem with frustration, and typically have to end up calling somebody to come and help me out. And again, I'm not complaining about that, but what I'm saying is that there's so many of us that are in that middle-aged 45 to 65 group that lost our jobs, that were paying a nice living wage. We were living a good life. We were living in our families. We had nice benefits, and we weren't worried about Obamacare and all these ridiculous things we have to pay for. And we were able to, you know, buy a new car and to live a life and put money away. And now that no longer exists. And of course, if you need health insurance, my God, you'd want to, I don't know what you'd do. I mean, I know what I was paying for health insurance before. Okay. And when I was paying for it by myself, and fortunately, I made my wife go back to work so I get insurance. But can you imagine, you know, trying to get insurance today and having to pay for it out of your own pocket? Okay. Now, companies are obviously circumventing a lot of those laws by not hiring full-time employees, so they don't have to be responsible for all that. Okay. So at the end, you know, when does it flush? When does it wash out? And when does the Federal Reserve wake up and realize that the crap that they're running, the Ponzi scheme, yes, I said it again for the thousandth time, this goes back to 2010, I've been saying this, and we all know that Ponzi schemes do collapse, okay? When does this Ponzi scheme end, and when do we have the major meltdown? Well, that is never to be known for sure. We just know it's going to happen. But the point is if you just end it, okay, and just say, okay, fine, we're raising rates. That's it. Goodbye, good luck, and have a nice day. Yeah, there'll be a lot of issues. There'll be a lot of problems. But at the end, if they would free up the damn money and allow normal people like you and me to borrow that money, okay, we could go back into building our own businesses. We could go back to becoming entrepreneurs, where we have an opportunity and a chance to succeed instead of becoming the damn robots that they want us to become. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm frankly sick and tired of the crap that everybody spits out, and everybody tells you what a wonderful environment we are in financially. Now, again, I can't speak for anybody but myself and who I know, and from who I know and where I'm coming from, it don't look good, okay? And the worst thing is the prospect doesn't look good. Because as long as the Federal Reserve stays on this zero free money train, the middle class is going to continue to struggle. And they're going to continue to lose hope that we're going to get out. Anyways, I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to be excited, and I also want you to be excited about the new hedging program that the Badger and I are doing, because it is awesome, and it will protect your long-term assets you have been able to save, and that's what our goal is. So go to thebubbashow.org right now and take a look at the programs that we have. If you have any questions, shoot me an email, bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll get to you. And we're going to step out here for a break, but make sure you catch the show. If you missed the show, go to libertytalk.fm. You can get it on demand anytime you want. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Right,
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and a new weekly feature we have is our friend Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, who does unbelievable research, and I encourage you to check out his site at demeterresearch.com. He really has a great understanding, a great feel for what's going on, and this is not based on only his opinion, but it's based on the work and the mathematics that he does behind. As you know, as part of the Bubba Show, we are very interested in repeating processes and understanding why things happen, which Matt will explain to us. So, Matt, first of all, let's welcome you aboard.
Thanks for having me again.
And kind of take us through. You made some statements last week that, you know, kind of came to pass, and you had some opinions here based on your work. So take us through what we talked about and where we're going.
Well, in gold and silver, I thought we would continue to fall, which we have. So far, the drop's been relatively small. It's about 2% in both gold and silver. So for the metals, that's relatively modest. I think that'll probably continue into this next week. As far as the currencies, I said dollar should strengthen, euro should weaken. I had a feeling that the ECB would say something dovish, but I had no idea they would be as dovish as they were. So that call worked out. The call about the markets that I made was that I thought we would probably turn down and head towards incomplete targets to the downside. Didn't come to pass because we popped through resistance lines that I laid out. It said if we cross 2054 in the S&P cash, that, you know, some of these resistance lines shouldn't be broken, and that was one of them. So now that we've broken 2054 in the S&P, there's a decent chance we're now headed up towards the highs.
And I would think that's probably fairly realistic. I mean, unfortunately, you know, again, one of the things you always have to remember is Matt gave footprints that he had seen, and we give footprints, and we were also thinking that we were probably reaching a near-term retracement and looking for the markets to go back and test those lows, but we have now broken out to the upside once again, and that would bring the highs back into play. And what else have you seen out there, Matt?
Well, let's see. In DAX, the German DAX, and also China, they're both at critical junctures as of the close on Friday, this past Friday, the 23rd.
Right.
So the DAX ended at 10,850-ish, and I have resistance right here. It's not clear. It's target resistance. It's not clear whether or not it will hold. But if it does hold, then it means that we're going to head back down towards substantial lows, back down to the September 29th lows, and probably even below that in the DAX. China is kind of, I'm waiting to see how it opens this Sunday night, to see how they react to their rate cut on Friday.
Right. Well, of course, the rate cuts and everything made everything jump. And of course, we can't price that into the footprint because we don't know whether that footprint was assumed ahead of time that it was going to happen. I mean, I believe that the market's kind of priced in Draghi's dovish statement, but obviously they didn't price in enough of it because we have now been up 4 weeks in a row and have totally come back. And in fact, the NASDAQ, I mean, is up over 20% in that period of time, which is quite phenomenal. What do you think?
It's amazing. Right where we ended on Friday, NASDAQ 100 was at what I would consider modest resistance. I think it could hold. I think we're most likely this week, what we're likely to see is a pullback and then moves higher again. So I think it's a little bit overdone. I think we should pull back and then most likely we'll shoot for higher highs. But we're at a strange juncture, so I can see it going either way. I do think when I look at the broader markets, when I look at you know, Real Sure 5000, New York Stock Exchange, composite, the broader indices, they're at much more significant resistance right here. The Dow and the S&P in particular could go higher, I believe. But because I don't see real dramatic resistance in those two indices. But the broader market, I think, may continue to struggle.
Now, you know, we've seen, as I look back, we've seen about a 20% run in the NASDAQ, about a 70% run in the S&P, about a 15% run in the Dow, and, of course, only about an 8% run in the Russell. And the Russell, which usually I look at as probably one of the key leaders, because the Russell really more represents middle America kind of thing, in my opinion. It's small company, small cap. Right. Does that concern you from that point of view, that the Russell is actually probably, it's right at the bottom of that original channel it broke down from? Is that something to watch?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, my when I follow all the volatility indicators, and Russell 2000 volatility of the group appears to be at target support. So if anything was going, any one market, any one index I was going to point to, I would say Russell 2000, that volatility should be bottoming, meaning the index itself should be, you know, topping right around here. And that's, and since, you know, that broader number of companies going into these broader indices, that's why I also have some concerns about them being at more serious resistance.
So if you were to lay out a number and a price, okay, and I agree that there's a good chance we'll go to new highs now, but I still believe that this could possibly be just a big bear market rally because, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, typically when you get these explosive kind of moves, those are typically not from bull markets. Those are usually from short covering and driven by other factors. It doesn't matter, again, the charts are the charts. But if you were to lay a percentage on it, would you say it would be 60-40 that we make new highs, 70-30 or 50-50? And what's your take from that point?
Well, if we're talking S&P and Dow, I'd say 70-30 that we make new highs.
Okay.
In fact, actually, that's I think more so in the S&P that we'll make slightly higher highs. I think the Dow will probably double top or maybe make a slightly lower high than it did in May. So, and then I think at that point, we're very likely to retrace in a much bigger way. We might have a much bigger sell-off again to head back down. But I think the S&P of the S&P and NASDAQ are most likely to make new highs.
I agree. And again, as painful it is for me to agree, I have to agree that I have no basis as to say that I think we'll see some sort of a pullback. But then again, this would be a potential pullback into a market that's actually going to go higher, which would actually be a real buying opportunity, which I didn't think, you know, after we made those lows, I thought for sure we'd go back down and try to really test those lows. We made an attempt in the Russell, actually made a lower low. The S&P came and made basically a double bottom. The Dow really never got close. And of course, so we'll see where it plays out from here. But I think that a lot of interesting things that we have to watch for. So give us the Cliff Notes versions. We come to the end here. Give us the Cliff Notes versions of what we should be watching for this week.
Well, what I'll be watching most closely, and I know it's not as well followed, is the DAX. Because, you know, the overall U.S. markets and the German European markets shouldn't be that far apart. They should kind of do some of the same things. So the key for me is the DAX at 10,850. If it gets over 10,900, then we're probably looking at a sort of a global rally. So, really, on Monday, I want to see, we should get some retracements back in the S&P and Dow. The support level I have is down, in the S&P is down around 2015. If it breaks through that, you can be sure that we're just headed back down. If not, we're headed to new highs.
And we probably are. And of course, we've been visiting with our weekly visit for our market calls based on his research, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. We always appreciate having you on, Matt, and keep those cards and letters and reports coming in because, of course, we love research that is just really about what we talk about here on The Bubba Show.
Absolutely. And I, on my site, as far as all these little details, lines and so forth, and our targets, we follow them there in real time. So,
so check out Demeter Research, our man Matt. It's really a great newsletter and great information, which is purely about the charts and not about opinion. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I don't need baggy clothes.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we are in. Why we're in the political season so early is beyond me. Why we've been already in it for 6 or 7 months is beyond me. Why we're having these debates and everything else is also beyond me. But Bill Whittle asks the questions, are rich white elitists corrupting the nation with political donations? And why don't we just go right to his answers and the crew once again? Here we go. Let's go to Bill Whittle and crew.
Nearly half of the early money in the presidential race came from just 158 families, and they're not like us. Is this the anti-democratic price of the Citizens United Supreme Court decision? I'm PJTV's Scott Ott, joined now by Stephen Green and Bill Whittle. And men, the graphic atop the New York Times story says it all. Using Monopoly pieces to illustrate, we see 158 red hotels atop a mountain of 120 million little green houses on the White House lawn. Those are our houses. Wealthy folks from finance to energy to Hollywood poured in the cash, $176 million through June 30th of this year. And here's who the puppet masters are. And I quote, they are overwhelmingly white, rich, older, and male in a nation that is being remade by the young, by women, and by black and brown voters. Across a sprawling country, they reside in an archipelago of wealth, exclusive neighborhoods dotting a handful of cities and towns, and in an economy that has minted billionaires in a dizzying array of industries, most made their fortunes in just two, finance and energy. Now they are deploying their vast wealth in the political arena. Now, of course, the device that has enabled this deployment is the Citizens United Supreme Court decision of 2010, the ruling for which President Obama once delivered a public smackdown to the allegedly independent judicial branch of government. In Citizens United, the court ruled that the First Amendment keeps the government from interfering with the marketplace of ideas or rationing speech, striking down as unconstitutional a law that limited speech for associations, organizations, and corporations. Now, this left elitist politicians to wonder, what good is political power if we can't use it to make our opponents shut up? Stephen Green, the income inequality chicken has come home to roost in the presidential election coup. I know you're glad that a handful of rich white guys wrote the Constitution, but isn't it time that they handed the reins of power over to we the people?
Well, they did. Ann Althaus had a great piece on her blog earlier this week where she looked at those 120 million little greenhouses, and if each one of them gave $5 instead of the 158 million that's been raised by these 100 or 120 million, whatever it is, that's been raised by these 158 families, they would raise $600 million. That's what people can do. That's the voice we have. The fact that most people don't care enough, well, you know, you get what you pay for. Another thing to remember, where was the story? Where was the story when Wall Street bought themselves a bailout with President Goldman Sachs that they put in office in 2008? And you know what? You look at this balance, if you go back to 2012 or 2008, Wall Street, Hollywood, Silicon Valley, they have huge sums of money. They all lean left. They're going to try and buy this campaign for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Mark my words. But if they haven't been ponying up in this early stage of the cycle, maybe it's because they know their candidates all suck.
Well, Bill Whittle, if you can't get to be president without dancing to the tune of the Koch brothers and their ilk, haven't we effectively added a prerequisite to the bare bones requirements of office enumerated in the Constitution and delivered up our democracy to the highest bidder?
I've watched the last two Republicans not become president by dancing to the tune of the Koch brothers, so I'm not exactly sure that the Koch brothers tapping you on the shoulder is an automatic guarantee that you're going to be president of the United States. The whole thing that this really comes down to, in my opinion, is coercion. They talk about these rich people, mostly male and mostly white, who've made billions of dollars in energy, which is oil, and finance, which is money, instead of, you know, having made their billions by, you know, forming collectives to grow frickin' hemp so they could have pressed hemp recyclable Starbucks cups. These rich white males who've made their money in energy and finance made their money in energy and finance. Now, here's the interesting thing about going out and making money. There's no restrictions on you making money if you're a brown person or a black person or a woman or any of the rest of this stuff that they listed. If you want to go out and make money, you can go out and make money. If this is the people that are making money, then that's their reward for their work and their insight and all the rest of it. So that's free. What I mean by free is, I mean, it's liberty-driven. What it really means is if you go out and make money, it's because people voluntarily give you money in exchange for service that you provide. Now, of course, these people who write the article are deadly against this. They believe in the government and the Democratic Party, which takes the money from those people who do go out and earn money by providing value and takes it from them by force and then distributes it to their voting bloc. Look, Scotty, we talk about campaign finance reform, but there is a vote pump, and it consists of about $1.5 trillion to $2 trillion a year. Trillion, thousands of billions of dollars. And the way it works is the government taxes people who are productive, takes their money, and gives it to people who aren't in terms of benefits. And they are buying their votes for the Democratic Party. And it's trillions of dollars a year that are handed from people who make the money to the people who don't in exchange for their votes. So when we get that under control, I'd be willing to have a discussion about the Koch brothers. But as long as $1 trillion or $2 trillion every year, not a campaign year, every year, is taken from taxpayers and given to people in form of benefits and entitlements, which can't be touched or ever cut in the budget, it's inviolate. When that vote pump is under control, then we can have a conversation about the Koch brothers and corporate finance.
Well, the New York Times picked a good time to do this story before the major labor unions began ramping up their giving to the Democratic anointed one. Therefore, the majority of the early mega donor super PAC money goes to Republicans who have a large competitive field. This, of course, reinforces the narrative that the GOP is a party of rich white men. However, the Times doesn't seem to notice that all of that big money has failed to create a juggernaut GOP candidate. It's still a madcap scramble for the nomination. Now, oddly enough, the three biggest GOP donors on the Times list put their money behind a guy that's a long shot at best, Senator Ted Cruz, the son of Cuban immigrants. You see, most of the 158 wealthy ones started their own businesses. It wasn't inherited, and they're accustomed to taking risks on something they believe in. Meanwhile, the major Democratic donors are nearly all in for Hillary Clinton, a woman who has parlayed her political power into a global empire of influence worth hundreds of millions of dollars, despite a list of accomplishments so thin she could shave her legs with it. As usual, the elitists at the New York Times and in the so-called Democratic Party are looking through the wrong end of the telescope. There's no question that people who make political contributions, large and small, hope to get something out of it. The question is, what do they want? Do they want special favors for themselves that result in more restrictions on your dreams and a bigger share of your hard-earned dollar going to failed programs that enrich only government cronies? Or do they want more liberty and prosperity for everyone by reducing the footprint of government on your back and unleashing the power of voluntary free markets? You know, in the 2012 presidential race, according to OpenSecrets.org, Barack Obama's top five donors were the PACs, unions, and employees of the University of California, Microsoft, Google, the U.S. government, and Harvard University. Ah, the good old days before rich white elitists corrupted the political process. For Bill Whittle, Stephen Green, and the entire tribe.
And, of course, you know, we get always get a little chuckle from some of their, a little bit of sarcasm and what they have to say. But I think that the message is fairly clear. You know, you have to realize what the system has become, and it's become, you know, when the big guys have enough to give to both sides, which they do. I mean, there's no secret. They're going to get preferential treatment, and we're not. And I think that is what you have to take away from what they're saying, is because we are in a bunch of failed programs. We continue to piss away garbage money on more things that aren't going to work. And, you know, if we ran our homes and businesses like things are being run, and we took the graft and the and things that are going on, and we did stuff just like that, we would be in the crapper. But of course, we are not in that same luxury position of the government, in which we just want to get bigger. We want everybody at some point to be on the old government payroll in some way, shape, or form. I think it's kind of tragic. I think it's kind of sad as to where we've become and what we've done. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, and we have to take care of it and take it upon ourselves to fix it and make it better. But one of the things we can certainly fix and make better is your personal portfolio, your IRA, your investing for the future, by teaching you the ability to hedge against whatever happens. Because at the end of the day, whatever happens is going to happen. And your job, if you should choose to accept it, is to protect without having to bring in the emotion, the fear, the panic of when the market does collapse again. But instead of doing that, creating an endowment model for yourself with your current portfolio, whether you have a little bit of money or a lot of money, there are different steps that you can take. And if you join me in the Badger, okay, in our program, there is a cost, but if you join us, you will see that it is by far the best way to protect your money for the rest of your life and keep yourself in the game without having to get fearful or panic and hurt yourselves by making the bad decision at the worst decision at the worst time. Go to thebubbashow.org and check it out. We're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And wasn't Bill Whittle great? You gotta love what he says. You may not always agree, but you gotta love what he says and the way he says it. I, you know, again, we got a mess. I said it to open up the show today, and who knows what the geniuses are going to do for us? We know whatever they do, it really isn't to our benefit. We know it's to their benefit, and you know, again, I mean. Look, I'm not telling you that this is not the greatest country in the world, because it is. I'm just telling you that we need to do things better. And it's a sad story from a coach's standpoint, and I was a coach for many years. I guess I'll always be a coach, but I actually got an award years afterwards, and you know, from my coaching And I still get letters from the kids that I coached back in the day. And it's really sad that we can't have a regular old economy of supply and demand, making money, paying for your product without manipulation, without the financial engineering, without all the bullshit of all of the world central banks trying to manipulate the money. Now, if you think that this is okay, then you better think again, because just take a look at Greece. You know, Greece is a small example of what can happen, but the model of spending more money than you make never works. No matter how much money you can print, it never works. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to pay the piper. Again, I don't want to be bleak, but I'm just saying that at the end, the piper has to be paid. There is no way to get around that. Okay? You can finance all you want. You can pay those high credit card bills all you want. But the debt doesn't go away. Okay? And until we as a society say enough and no more debt, I mean, just like the debt thing come up again. You don't think they're going to raise it again? All that means is we're going deeper into hock. Okay? All that means is they're going to put some more money into the system. Now, again, every time they dilute what we have, that just raises prices and you're just getting a dilution. Okay? It's like diluting your stock. I mean, I know that economists don't agree with me, but I don't really care. Okay? Because I can see the difference. I can see, and again, we're not in, 1954. But I know my parents in 1954, their mortgage payment was $53. Okay? And I know my dad made, I think, $40 a week or $50 a week back then. Okay? Now, I'm not saying we should go back to that. I'm just saying that, the money just doesn't quite go as far as it did. But the relationship, based on what they tell me, it should. But it doesn't. Okay? Now, again, you'll hear the gold and silver bugs telling you that, in 1964, a quarter, right now, it would buy you a full tank of gas, one quarter. Well, again, I know there's inflation. I know things have to change. But at the end of the day, okay, we've gone a little bit too far in what they're trying to do, in my opinion. Again, I don't think you can continue at the present pace, because I can't see a happy ending. I can see a debacle happening, and then they'll flush out all the weak, which I should have let them flush out in the first place. I want to know where it's written that we have to be responsible for everybody in the economy. I mean, I want to know where it's written that, we have to worry about bailing out banks. Okay? Now, again, people tell me that I'm wrong, and I could be wrong, but again, based on what I've seen so far, I'm not wrong. Okay? Based on what I've seen so far, the result we're getting now sucks. So, again, I could be wrong, but I don't see a great deal of good things happening that make a lot of sense to me. And I don't see people thriving, okay? I don't see people having a great time in this current economy. Now, I know the wealthy are having a great time, but the wealthy always have a great time. And why shouldn't they? Look, they earn their they either earn their way or inherited their way to riches, and God bless. I have no problem with that. I mean, that bothers me not in the least. Okay? We've got rich, poor, and poverty. We've got it all. Okay? And that's always going to be the case no matter where or what you do. But why make it such a challenge for the hard workers, the middle class, the true spenders in this economy? Because again, you've heard this from me before. The rich always spend, good times or bad. the real rich. I'm not talking about the ones that are rich on paper that are floating some paper asset and don't have the cash. I'm talking about the real, honest to goodness, wealthy. They always spend. They buy new cars. They buy new houses. They don't give a crap what's going on. They just buy, right? Because they can. In fact, in times of strife, and a lot of times we have now, they buy more because they can accumulate more assets and become richer, creating an endowment for themselves, which is one of the things that we work on in our hedging class. Okay, but so if we have a situation that we're not getting the people who need to spend, the people that need to be the buyers in the world are the middle class. They're the ones that sustain every economy. Because we're the ones that finance cars. We're the ones that buy at the retail store when we have money. But what you've done now with the current model that we're running is we don't have the excess income to go to the store and buy that extra pair of blue jeans or that extra pair of shoes. Yeah, we got to buy some stuff. Okay, you got to buy the necessities. But certainly we're not getting any extra spending. And that's where the numbers eventually come from. It's from people who spend a little bit more. Okay? If you're spending right now, I'll throw a number, $1,000 a year on clothes, okay? Because that's a necessity for your job or in your life. If you were making more money, you probably would spend $1,200. Because you might buy that extra suit or that extra shirt or that extra pair of shoes or whatever. But we don't do that because we're not providing the opportunity. And we're not. When you're providing the middle class an opportunity, it doesn't mean you're giving them anything. It means that they have the ability to be in business for themselves. They have the ability to borrow money and try to build a business or to borrow money and do something else with it. But what we've done now is we've taken all that away for the time being. Because the middle class, and these are not my numbers, but the middle class's income is down about 6 or 7%. Okay? The overall entrepreneurship is significantly lower. And how do we know? Well, because all we do is see mergers and acquisitions at the big level. You don't see many new businesses opening up. You keep seeing stores close. So at the end of the day, the only way to fix this is to take the pill and let the market, stock market, collapse, which who cares? Let's flush out the weak. That's what I'm talking about. Again, if you keep carrying the weak, you're penalizing everybody else. And why should we be penalized? I'm sick and tired of being penalized for something else. I work hard, and I don't want to be stuck with somebody else's crap. And I have no problem helping people that really need help. But I got news for you. I'm tired of bailing out people that are just taking advantage and sucking on the company. Okay, which in this case is the United States government. I mean, let's get it together. But part of that has to come from at the polls. Okay, and we can't live with the same crap over and over again. And it's not going to change tomorrow. It's going to change over time. But it's got to start at our level. But in the meantime, make sure that you are protecting your long-term assets that are in the equity market. Because again, mathematically, forget about my opinions and forget about what I'm saying about the economy, but mathematically, the market is going to have a sell-off. It always does. And I want to make sure my Bubba Show listeners are protected. So go check out thebubbashow.org and look at the hedging programs. If you have any questions, you can email me at bub@thebubbashow.org. I'm happy to answer them. I'm happy to call you. Okay, I'm happy to talk to everybody. Again, my job, my lot in life is to educate America on fiscal responsibility and financial literacy. So you reach out to me anytime. I appreciate y'all being here today. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
I got a feeling. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.